Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside a couple of my digital friends. I miss you, gentlemen. NBA champs Richard Jefferson, Matt Barnes, thank you both for being here. We have a jam-packed show today. The second round of All-Star voting just dropped. We'll show you the results in just a minute. Also coming up, we're going to discuss how the Lakers balance LeBron's impressive MVP campaign with managing his workload throughout this season. This comes off the heels of three straight overtime wins. And a little bit later, Devin Booker was asked what went through his mind seeing Giannis square up for a potential game-winning shot. Book said, "We're in good shape." Shade or no shade? That is the question. First, though, a lot of sports teams like to put sayings up on the walls around the locker room. The Spurs, for example, have framed a quote about pounding a rock, explaining that you can hammer a rock 100 times without seeming much happening. But when the rock splits on the 101st blow, it's the product of all the work that came before it. I don't know what the Dallas Mavericks have up on their walls, but this year they may want to think about one of those motivational cat posters that says, "It's not how you start, it's how you finish." After all, Dallas's start this season, not exactly peachy. The team had one of the league's toughest early schedules. It had injury issues. Then it had COVID issues, like serious ones. Three players were quarantined while on a road trip in Denver. They had to stay locked in their hotel rooms for 10 days while the team carried on without them. And even once they were released, it was a struggle to get their conditioning back. Combine that with the reduced offensive firepower that came with having traded away Seth Curry, as well as some just outright lazy nights on defense, and the Mavs' spot in the standings plummeted right along with Luka's MVP hopes. Yet slowly, things in Dallas have been turning around. The team has won four of its last five, and while there's still a long road to walk, at least the Mavs seem to be finally heading in the correct direction. Like, take last night, which kicked off with a mini controversy over the national anthem. The Mavs had not been playing the anthem before this season. As Mark Cuban came on The Jump yesterday and explained, they had heard from a number of people and community groups saying the anthem doesn't represent them. But after being overruled by the league office, the Mavs did, in fact, play the song last night. And with all order, I guess, restored to the universe, they got to go on with the business of trying to shut down the Atlanta Hawks. And it would not be easy. John Collins had himself a night. Trae Young was Trae Young, pushing Atlanta to a 13-point lead by the middle of the third quarter. But then in the fourth, the Mavs surged, shooting 15 of 22, 7 of 9 from 3. The team's role players actually paid off all the space they were getting from the Hawks doubling Doncic and managed to hold a 1-point lead with just 5 seconds left on the clock. And that's when things got even more spicy. The Hawks inbound to Danilo Gallinari. He gets a decent fading look that comes up short. And the Mavs get the win, but let's rewind. Zoom in on Young here. He was setting a back screen for Collins when Willie Cauley-Stein turned and ran into his face. Young got back up, but as soon as the final buzzer sounded, he raced toward the officials, just livid about not getting the call. Afterward, here is both Atlanta coach Lloyd Pierce and Cauley-Stein.
Willie Cauley-Stein ran Trae over, and that's a foul. It's a foul. That's why Trae's on the floor. It blows up our play. But it's unfortunate.
I didn't even see Trae. So he's a smart kid. He was trying to get a quick little foul to shoot free throws to ice the game. No way he was going to give him that call for the game. So good try, though. That was smooth. It was sneaky.
The officials confirmed their ruling after the game, but at least for the Mavericks, the story of the night was much bigger picture. Last season, Dallas was notorious for folding late in games. This season, the numbers are much better, with last night yet another example to give Mavericks fans hope the team can, in fact, salvage the season and climb into playoff contention. In so many different ways, inside games, inside a season, it really is not how you start, but how you finish. Keep the poster up, and the sky's the limit. So, Richard, what do you think success looks like now for the Dallas Mavericks? Because preseason, we were saying, hey, top three in the West, Luka maybe for MVP, we'll see. What is success right now?
I think success right now for them is really just getting to the postseason and making some sort of run. A second round, you know, you got to understand that everybody is dealing with stuff, whether it's COVID, you look at what's going on with the Nets and KD off the court and then quarantined for a second time. So everyone's dealing with things. I think for the Dallas Mavericks, they got to get healthy. They have to continue improving their defense. And then they just have to kind of play the cards that they've been dealt this year. It's going to be the same for everyone.
I think the dust just has to settle off all the hype. I think they left us super excited about the way they played last year in the bubble, particularly against the playoffs, against the Clippers in the playoffs. And then all the hype surrounding Luka, odds on favorite to win MVP this year. So there's so much hype on this young team coming into the season. I think that got into their heads. Now the dust is starting to clear. They're starting to find their footing. They're only a game and a half out of eight. So to piggyback off what Richard said, getting to the playoffs is definitely the goal, but trying to get out of that first round too, considering they really didn't improve this offseason and they let go someone like Seth Curry.
Yeah, and look, they thought getting Josh Richardson back in that trade would bolster their defense, which was a big weak point for them last year, but you got to actually make the parts work when you switch parts around. And the schedule has been tough, and I know that's not an excuse, and Richard, you're right, everyone deals with that, but they had what I believe was the league's hardest schedule to start. So the point is, when it gets easier now, you have to take advantage. They are starting to do that. Let's move on to the Lakers, because they beat the Thunder by 1 point in overtime last night. Another 1 point game in the West. This, though, was the third straight overtime win for LA, their sixth straight win overall. LeBron scored 10 in the fourth quarter, hit the game tying three in regulation, and in overtime, he made some huge defensive plays. After the game, Coach Frank Vogel said this.
He made several defensive plays, to be honest with you. He's really leading the charge, taking a matchup of Horford on certain situations. And I'd say Wes Matthews had two great defensive stops on Horford post-ups as well. But that's what Bron does. Bron does on both sides of the ball. You know, that's why he's probably going to be this year's MVP, carrying the load offensively and quarterbacking. The defense, number one defense in the league, and taking these tough assignments and making these plays down the stretch. So, he's playing terrific.
So ESPN actually asked 100 media members. This is a poll that Tim Bontemps conducts every year. It mimics the postseason awards voting with the points awarded for different guys for different places. He also tries to take a sampling of actual voters from different markets. So you really get an accurate sense of what voters are thinking. LeBron in first place right now, 53 first place votes, followed by Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic. Remember, Embiid gets a lot of extra points for being second or third on people's ballots. That's how Tim said the numbers kind of went out this time. Richard, how difficult is it going to be then to balance LeBron's MVP campaign? Because we know he actually wants another one. We know he deserves to get another one, and he thinks this is the year he could get it, with also making sure he has enough rest to get through to and be fresh for the playoffs.
Well, with all due respect to everybody in the Laker organization, this is about LeBron James. If he feels like he has an opportunity to win a championship, and I'll take you back. I was on the team when it was Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double, James Harden's historic season, and LeBron James was up there in the top three. And they asked them, hey, do you think rest is should be going into the equation? Mm-hmm. And they all said that, yes, you shouldn't be resting if you're fighting for an MVP. So he, every season since then, has taken upon himself to play as many games as possible unless he's injured. So I don't see him missing too many games because he's seen people use rest against him.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a tough situation to be in. At this point, individual accolades strengthen his argument, but we really don't need him. I know LeBron is in it for rings. Never got a chance to play with LeBron, but I'm sure it's similar to Kobe, with good luck trying to get someone like Kobe or LeBron to take a night off when they're not really hurt. So, we just hope that, he's going to have the enough energy in the tank, because we know it's going to be a long run for them. They're odds on favorite to win the chip again. And if he's able to pick up an MVP in that process, which he's deserved in the past and he hasn't got, I'm all for it.
And look, Kobe is someone who should have ended up with more MVPs than he got also, and was a victim a little bit to who had the best numbers in a particular season versus who is the best player, which I could do a whole dissertation on, but I won't today because I like both of you guys. I will say this, though. If you look at the numbers of games missed in terms of MVPs and how they in the past have done, these are the past MVPs, right? These are the guys who actually won the award in that year, and this is the percentage of games they played. So there's actually room for LeBron in a 72-game season to hit that 86% mark that, say, Giannis hit last year. He could take 10 games off in the 72-game season and still be in that same part of the conversation. I don't expect him to take 10 games off if he is healthy. Of course, Giannis took a couple games off because he was injured last year. And it's just a great what if, guys, when you look at last year's MVP race. LeBron was coming on so strong in March when the league shut down. There was really a feeling he had just beaten Giannis head-to-head. Giannis was out with an injury. There was a feeling he could be out for an entire month. And who knows, the entire course of LeBron's MVP life would have been been different. Of course, the entire course of the country would have been different as well. We will see what happens with it this year. Stay tuned in this show. We're going to take a very short break, but coming up, the second batch of All-Star fan votes are in. Stick around to find out how high Klay Thompson is now on the leaderboard. He's gone up, people. He's gone up,
leaderboard?
Despite not playing in any games this season. You're way down on it, Richard. We won't talk about that. All right, let's move on to the latest batch of All-Star fan votes that were just released. Let's start out East. KD, Giannis, Embiid, the top three front court vote getters. Beal, Kyrie, Harden, top three among back court players. And shouts to Bradley Beal, by the way. Wasn't even going to the All-Star game last year. This year he's leading voting. Out West, LeBron atop all front court players, 4.3 million votes and counting. He's followed by Jokic, Kawhi. In the backcourt, Steph is number one, followed by Luka and Dame. And Klay Thompson, who, let me just say this again, hasn't played a game since the 2019 finals, in eighth place, moved up from 10th place. So he now has 225,000 votes. I think Klay's going to have to suit up, Richard. I think the people are demanding it. And you know, he could go out in the walking boot.
And this is why everybody complains about fan voting. I know it's cute, I know it's funny, and there's things that for us to talk about, but look, Klay does not need to be voted. Actually, if you're out for the season, there are some exceptions. You probably shouldn't be on the All-Star ballot voting situation. That's just my opinion.
Hey, Klay's a national treasure. Get all the votes you can.
You know what? That's the answer. That is absolutely the answer. I want to see him move up to fifth. Let's see what happens.
And all right, it was guys, just his birthday. Happy birthday, Klay.
Oh, happy birthday, Klay Thompson.
There we go, Klay.
There you go. 225,000 votes for your birthday. Coming up, the NBA reportedly eyeing a dunk contest during halftime of the NBA All-Star game. That is currently still being planned. Is that a good idea? Is All-Star a good idea? We're going to discuss it all next. So, guys, Karl Anthony Towns returned to the court last night after missing 13 straight games due to a battle with COVID-19. This is the same person who has already lost his own mother, six other family members to the virus. As for his return to the court, Towns had 18 points, 10 rebounds in 31 minutes, really effective after missing basically a full month of games, and then spoke candidly afterward about his personal battle with COVID. Take a listen.
I'm a high-risk case. COVID did not treat me well whatsoever. A lot of scary nights. My dad calling me 24/7. What I said in my post at the end was the kids, I think everyone who's on this knows me very well. I call my niece and nephew my kids mostly, as my sister is a single parent. And, you know, one of the things when I told my sister that I got COVID was, I got it. I don't got a good version of it. I got a lot of COVID in me, but, you know, I'm going to fight and I'm going to beat it.
I can't imagine that family, his father, his sister, having to hear that one of their own was battling this after what happened with Carl's mother. Very powerful words there. Towns, of course, a two-time All-Star, which led him to getting questions about the current plans for the All-Star game and the weekend events, which seem to be picking up steam. According to our Adrian Wojnarowski, the league is progressing on a plan for a halftime slam dunk contest at the All-Star game. A three-point shootout and skills competition also expected to be part of the Sunday night event, sources said. Finalized details are expected later this week. And here's Karl Anthony Towns on those plans.
I did see the All-Star game. I personally don't, you know, believe there should be an All-Star game, but what the hell do I know? I obviously, I haven't dealt with COVID, probably, right? Probably guy that has some insight into that. But what do I know about COVID, right? So I don't believe that should happen, but, you know, the world is coming to a place where I wish, selfishly, I wish it was at this point when my mom was here. You know, it could have made things a lot easier and it could have gave me a better chance and better resources. But even for me, I felt very, I've said it privately, but I'll say it now. It's like I felt very guilty about the treatment I got, you know, and I feel that it should be more widely available to Americans, but and anyone in the world.
I know everyone has an opinion on Karl Anthony Towns, but listen to that man. That is a good man thinking about other people that way. And strong, strong thoughts on the All-Star game. And as he pointed out, hey, what do I know about COVID? Richard, What are your current thoughts on an All-Star game and the plan that they've got going right now?
Well, I'm going to follow Carl Anthony Towns' lead. You know, again, like, I have not dealt with COVID the way him and his family and losing his mother and dealing with all that stuff. But, you know, sometimes, and the NBA has done a better job than I think any sports league in the world of listening to their players. Mm-hmm. What are your concerns? What are your issues? How can we come to some sort of middle ground? And right now, it doesn't look like that. When the best players in the world don't think it's needed, when guys that would be first-time All-Stars, like De'Aaron Fox,
right,
has come out and said, like, I don't think that this is necessary. So even selfishly, he is a person that would be a first-time All-Star. And so if you listen to the players, they don't think it's necessary. And so I'm just going to follow their lead.
Yeah, I think Richard hit it on the head. And personally, I think, Rachel, when we talked about this a few weeks ago, we were excited because we know how great the All-Star games have been in the past. The competition level has been off the charts, and the Saturday night weekend has been fun. But I think Richard hit it on the head. They didn't listen to their players this time around. And my view on this has completely shifted after hearing the players. You know what I mean? Because we are former players, Richard and myself. So I definitely think they should have listened to players considering all the factors. They had a crazy situation in the bubble for 100-plus days. Short off season. Season starts on Christmas. Now they're finally supposed to be able to get a little bit of break to spend time with their family and just kind of decompress, and they're thrown into another bubble-like situation for All-Star. So All-Star is supposed to be a celebration of all the best players in the league, and I get that, but I definitely think they missed the ball by not listening to their players, because the players run this league and make the league go.
And look, we know, and we've had multiple guys say it, hey, we all know this is about money. There is a lot of money involved, but I think sometimes you got to weigh, and if you throw up the results again, Producer Danny, of the voting, and look at the guys who are going to the All-Star game, right? So you've heard Giannis Antetokounmpo say, hey, I don't really want to go. You've heard LeBron James say, this feels like a slap in the face, is what LeBron said. Again, and now you have Karl-Anthony Towns, who, as he notes, has probably had more experience with COVID than anyone else in the NBA in such a tragic way. His voice is now coming out and saying it. I am very curious to see how the league proceeds here. It is my experience when the NBA wants something to happen, it happens. You guys know about that. But they are getting a pretty strong message loud and clear from so many of their top players. We will see what happens. I want to move on to an idea that's kind of connected, right? The idea of fans returning to arenas little by little. Yesterday, the Knicks released a statement saying they had permission from New York Governor Cuomo to host roughly 2,000 fans at every game starting February 23rd. The Suns also announced that they'll be increasing fan capacity from 1,500 to 3,000 starting next week. So far, in limited attendance this season, there have already been a few incidents with fans. Last week, of course, we saw a fan in Atlanta that LeBron dubbed courtside Karen getting thrown out of the arena for language she used, but also masked down, yelling in LeBron's direction. Then last weekend in Houston, this video surfaced, fans fighting in the stands, which I will largely let speak for itself, although again, I don't think the mask policy is being really followed here at all. And when you look at, you know, again, it's not just the safety of the fans who, at some degree, if they don't choose not to wear a mask, but also the players who are in that building breathing that air. Matt, how difficult do you think this process is going to be for players who do want fans in the building? I mean, you guys thrive off that, but there's risks.
Right. I mean, obviously safety is first. You know, we have to keep in mind that although we're compassionate people and players, this is the NBA is a business. It's a thriving business. And obviously, like all the other businesses across the world, they've been pounded by COVID. You know, so they're trying to slowly but surely get fans back in the arena. And if they can safely do that as a former player and probably current players, we're all for that. Now, when you see courtside Karen doing what she did with LeBron, players, we love that. I think LeBron spoke to that too. We love that kind of interaction with the fans, and you know, it kind of gives me chills just talking about it. Like playing in front of, in an empty arena is no fun for anybody. That's just kind of the world we're in right now. But if they can safely incorporate fans back to these arenas and slowly start to climb the number safely, I think it's, you know, obviously a good idea. But the key word is safely, and can they do that safely at this point with this pandemic?
Yeah, and my thing is this. I know we've had some incidences, but just like as athletes, we don't want to be judged by our worst moments.
Yeah.
I think fans shouldn't be judged by some people that just took things a little bit, you know, past the line of acceptability. So I think getting fans back in, we're not reintroducing fans to the wild. We're just saying that you're allowed to come in limited capacity. So just keep your mask on. Don't go too crazy and just enjoy it. Enjoy being one of the 2,000 people that get to go into arena. That's a fun, intimate, you know, experience right there. So
it's like a private NBA game. It's like a club show when Pearl Jam does a closed small club show or something. By the way, Richard, I just want to interrupt you to say that those were COVID sniffing dogs that you were just watching in Miami. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Thank God. They had to retrain the dogs now that marijuana is allowed in the NBA. So, like, these, like, all the weed sniffing dogs are now sniffing COVID now. What's going on?
This guy.
And we'll take a break right there.
Go ahead. Where did you get this guy from?
I ask myself that question every day. Coming up, Kings forward Harrison Barnes is stopping by, discussing his team's recent success, some amazing charity work he's doing, and what it will take for his team to snap the NBA's longest active playoff drought. Now, we had a special guest stop by yesterday. Let's take you to the videotape.
Harrison Barnes, no resistance. Barnes on the drive, all the way to the bucket, count it. Layup is beautiful by Harrison Barnes. Ooh.
Harrison Barnes, okay, wow.
I want to welcome in our next guest, former NBA champ, 9-year vet, Harrison Barnes. Welcome back to The Jump.
Thanks for having me.
Always so good to see you. And I want to get right to your Kings because you guys are heating up. You've won 4 out of 5, only lost coming to the Sixers. They have the best record in the Eastern Conference. How has the team been able to achieve better results recently? What's clicking for you guys overall?
Man, I really think it just comes down to our chemistry. You know, at the beginning of the season, you know, we had a rough start. You know, we're losing a lot of games there, and, you know, we really kind of came together as a group. We started playing better defense, which allowed us to be in a lot more of these games, and we've been able to have a little streak going.
Nice. And part of that, of course, is due to your own play and your teammate, De'Aaron Fox, playing some of his best basketball in his young career, averaging 31 a game over his last 6 games. What do you feel has changed and clicked for him recently?
I think for him, it boils down to his confidence. You know, this summer he put in a lot of work, not only on his body, but on his game. And as, you know, we've seen not only in these last few games, but really this season, you know, he's just playing at a really high level. The consistency, late games, being able to close for us, and, you know, just playing at an all-star level.
Nice. Well, look, it's on the court that we're seeing developments from all of you guys, but off the court as well. I want to get to this, Harrison. I'm so impressed by it. We already know you're community-minded. Last season, you were 1 of 5 players to receive the NBA Cares Community Assist Reward Award. But this season, you have been opening savings account. 500 kids total so far have gotten them in both Sacramento and Dallas, the last 2 cities you've played in. And for you, it was important to, as you say, build Black in Sacramento, T.L. Marsalis Elementary in Dallas, receiving their first savings account. What went into this decision, and why is it so important to you?
You know, I think it's so important to give back. And, you know, when I look at my own life and the conversations that I had about financial literacy, you know, those weren't conversations I had until I was getting ready to become a pro, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I saw what Goal Setter was doing, when I had, you know, a conversation with Tanya just about, you know, what they're all about and what their vision is, you know, it made sense for me to want to try to partner with them and give these kids the opportunity, one, to have that savings account, but two, to start learning and having these conversations about, you know, what financial freedom really means.
Yeah, because there are statistics, right, on kids. If they have a savings account early, it changes how they look at really all of their financial decisions going forward, and even has a correlation to education, right?
Absolutely. You know, with the Goal Setter app, you know, there's learning tools that these kids can do and use as they continue to watch their money grow. So for them to be able to have these kind of conversations, to be able to look at their account, get these lessons at such a young age, it's just going to set them up for success moving forward. And, you know, these are tools that they're going to have for the rest of their lives. And for them to get started at this age is really important.
I love seeing you give back to the community this way. You're targeting black and brown kids, underserved kids with this initiative. And I think that is so, so impressive and, of course, important. I do want to get back to the court, though, because you have been making such a splash, Harrison. Your name has started to surface in trade rumors. You've been around the block. You know how this goes. Teams looking to add wing depth prior to the March 25th deadline. What is it like to once again have this starting up and hearing your name in these discussions?
You know, coming to the NBA, you know, those are conversations that, you know, you're going to have every deadline, every offseason, you know, regardless of how good your team is doing. And, you know, it's always, you know, nice to be appreciated, you know, for your play. But, you know, right now my focus is, you know, on Sacramento, you know, where I'm at. That's all I can control at this point, and trying to be the best that I can for this organization and my teammates.
Well, I know that the goal is a playoff push there. The team's last playoff appearance was back in 2006. That is the longest active playoff drought in the entire league. So it would mean a lot to break that. Fill in the blank for me here, Harrison. The Kings make the playoffs if what?
I mean, if we continue to do what we're doing right now, you know, our goal is to make the playoffs, among other things. But, you know, our process has to start with how we approach, you know, our everyday processes. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, we were taking some shortcuts. We were having a little bit of a learning curve with how we wanted to play. And now that we've kind of, you know, drilled that and got where we need to be, it's a matter of just continuing to find that consistency on a day-to-day basis. And if we do that, I think we'll be in a good shape come end of the season.
Well, we'll be looking forward and watching and tracking it all. I think you guys have had such a fun ride the last couple weeks. Good luck to you. I hope it continues. Thank you so much. Thank you to Harrison. Up next, Steph has been so much fun to watch this season. It got us wondering if underdog Steph is the most exciting version of Mr. Wardell Stephen Curry II. We'll discuss that. First, though, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Check out our latest ESPN cover story featuring Devin Booker, as told by Michael Wilbon. Here's a short clip from their conversation. You can head over to the app for the extended version, but listen here.
Every step of the way, Booker's talent was understated. But it wasn't completely unnoticed, especially by one legend ending his career, Kobe Bryant.
We had a short conversation on the court, and then he left me with, you know, meet me in the back. You know, let's chop it up for a little bit.
Is that a dream come true for Devin Booker to meet his hero, Kobe Bryant?
I thought it was going to be a 2 to 3 minute convo, and ended up being 15 to 20 minutes post-game. And that's when he signed the shoes to me. One shoe said, to the young one, and the next one was, to Book, be legendary. I got be legendary tattered on my arm. That's something that Kobe left me with, you know, in our final game against each other. That still keeps me motivated and will always keep me going.
It's crunch time here on The Jump. The Bulls making a franchise record 25 three-pointers last night in their win over the Pelicans. Matt, do you think the Bulls can continue their hot shooting, or was this a fluke?
This is just, whether it's a fluke or not, this is just what the NBA is now. Mm-hmm. It's a three-point shooting league, so I expect all existing team records and NBA records to fall within the next handful of years.
Yeah, it is a fluke, because whenever you break a team record, it's not the consistent. But when you got Zach LaVine and his ability to knock down 10 or 12 threes on a given night, you're going to see more of this.
Yeah, and look, it's funny. Brian Windhorst was on his podcast the other day breaking down where, like, the great defenses of certain eras would have ranked in different times, and where the number 5 defense or number 1 defense in today's game would have ranked compared to that. Because being the top defense in the league right now, it's a very different story against all this scoring versus being the top defense in the league in, say, 2004, right, when the Pistons were doing it. So
right. The
game has changed. All right, let's move on to the Suns. Held on in a tight game to beat the Bucks last night after Giannis missed a potential game-winning shot. Now, take a look here. Afterward, Devin Booker asked his thoughts about when he saw Giannis shooting, and he said, "I thought we're in good shape." Now, the reporter followed up. Devin said, "I just mean that it's better to have him outside the paint than inside the paint." Do you feel this was shade or just the answer to a question, Matt?
I just think it's real talk. Giannis doesn't strike fear in any opponent outside of the paint. And that's crazy to say about our two-time defending MVP. But as we were talking about earlier, that's the next step in this game, being able to have a consistent jump shot or three-point shot, and he doesn't really have either right now. So Devin Booker was respectfully throwing some shade.
Yes, Richard?
He is an amazing, talented player, one of the best players in this generation, but they call it, he's with us. Matt, when we're on the bench and somebody shoots a jumper, he's with us. That jumper by Giannis, the entire, yeah, it's not good. That means he's on our side. That means if the Phoenix Suns could have drawn up a play for the Milwaukee Bucks, the Phoenix Suns would have drew up that exact play. That is the definition of he is with us. Yes, yeah, he's amazing, but yes, that's the play that the Phoenix Suns would have drew up. That just lets you know. If they're like, hey, we're going to drop a play for Giannis to win the game or lose the game, if Giannis is shooting a 17-foot jumper over DeAndre Ayton, that's the play that the Phoenix Suns would have drew up. Just saying.
And look, when you
Absolutely.
Go to these conversations.
Every team would draw it up.
Yep.
Every team.
What defenses want, you go back to the 2011 finals, right? The idea, Dallas, was, hey, make LeBron shoot, because if he goes into the basket, it's a freight train and everything's done. So just make him shoot. We want that shot. And it is what undid the Miami Heat in those finals. That is what teams are doing to Giannis Antetokounmpo now. Now LeBron wore down. He worked on his three-point shot. Things changed, and obviously we're watching to see if Giannis can do the same thing. Let's move on, guys, to our League Pass game of the night. I think so, too, Matt. I think so, but it's not there yet. Only 5 games on the slate. 2 are on national TV, so those are disqualified. That means our producers can only pick from one of the 3 remaining games. They went with Magic at Warriors because, when in doubt, you pick the game Steph Curry is playing in. He's averaging a ridiculous 37.5 points per game in February, really hitting a stride, elevating his play. Matt, is underdog Steph in some ways your favorite to watch? You played on a team with him when they were the favorites.
Yeah, just watching Steph, period, is fun for me. You know, I was on the wrong end of a lot of those threes, but I think Steph is just reminding people how talented he is. I think quickly we forget how talented Steph is because he's always had such a great arsenal with him. But when it's just up to him offensively to carry the load every night, he's more than capable of doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to say my favorite Steph to watch is dominant Steph, where you're just looking around and there's Clay and it's him. It's just like, well, what do you want us to do here, coach? And the coach is looking at you like, just keep doing your best. But this version of Steph, this version of Steph to me is more of like, I'm so happy to see it, right? Like, he has been down, he has been out, their team has been banged up. And what does he do after missing basically an entire season? He comes out, he's first in votes for the guards. Mm-hmm. He's averaging God knows what at this point in time over the course of the last month, 37 points. So this is a fun Steph, but this is not my favorite version of Steph.
Yeah, I mean, look, all good versions. All versions of Steph are good versions, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Steph has always been a team first guy too. So I'm sure this ultimate green light that he has, knowing that every night he's going to have to be in that 30 to 40 point range, is fun for him. Although tiresome, I'm sure it's fun.
Fun for him. Amen. All right, this just in at the buzzer. Here's a quote from Kevin Durant on the Et Cetera's podcast. This is the podcast out of his boardroom group. He says, Kyrie is going to play a nice, efficient game this year. All that other expletive. He didn't say expletive. That's me saying expletive, just clarifying. That people talk about. I was never concerned with that. Kyrie is going to play the right way. He's going to do his best when he is out there. Matt, first of all, get you a friend like Kevin Durant, because that is really impressive backup of his guy. The same way, by the way, Kyrie has backed up KD over and over again. Those guys are legit tight. Do you share Kevin's confidence in Kyrie this season?
There's never been a question of Kyrie's performance on the floor. When he decides he wants to play and he's going to show up, he's one of the best talents we've ever seen in this game. So I 100% agree with KD. Like, when Kyrie is bought in on coming to the games and actually playing, there's never been a question about his talent or his abilities.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. There's nobody that probably knows Kyrie better than Kevin Durant right now at this point in time in their stages of their career and being around each other every day. So if he wasn't worried, that's a good sign for the Nets and the Nets fan and the organization. I will say this. He didn't answer the question. He talked about when Kyrie's on the court. And Kyrie, like to Matt's point, is one of the best we've ever seen. But I'm glad that Kyrie is back. I'm glad that Kevin Durant will be back and they'll be rolling very quickly soon.
And by the way, Kevin Durant gets out of the COVID protocols tomorrow. Very grateful Nets team who will have him back for Saturday night's ABC game. See what I did there? There you go. Jump returns tomorrow. Thanks, guys, for being here today.